Today is Father's Day, and the title of today's message is A Father's Influence. I want to talk about the value of the man, the father, in the home, in the church, and in the community. And we're going to talk about how a father is a great influencer in many different ways. We're going to look at the life of Job. Job is usually the guy we think about when we think of adversity and struggle and a huge test in his life, and it was. But in this scripture, embedded in some of the early texts, are key insights that he was a great father. He had a fatherly influence upon his family and upon his community and the area where he lived. So here's what I want to do. I want to talk about Job's life in five ways he was a father of influence. Now, these are principles that apply to not only the guys, but to the ladies as well. So if you listen through it, while I'm majoring on the guys, it also applies to all of us if we live it out. But here's the secret of Job's life. He wanted to live life in such a way that he left his mark on the world, on his family, and upon his community. And in fact, he did that. And so let's get started. Five simple ways how Job was a father of great influence. Number one, the first thing he did, he lived a God-centered life. Another way to put this is he lived a God-prioritized life. What does that mean? At the center of all his decision-making, of how he lived life, he put his faith in God at the center. It influenced everything. The world today is hungry for people that can live in such a way that it's attractive and magnetic, and we're drawn to them. The world is lacking people who are like that. But anyone who lives a God-centered life, in which the hub of all he did and all he attempted to do, God was at the center. He somehow, some way, did that, and here's what happened. That was the cornerstone of his life of influence that he would leave behind. Read with me verse 1 in your notes. In the land of Uz, there lives a man whose name was Job. The man was blameless, upright. He feared God and shunned evil. These are adjectives or descriptors of Job's life. He was blameless. Now, it doesn't mean he was perfect, but he walked in such a way that he guarded the decisions he made so that he would not compromise himself or dishonor God. He was upright. What's that mean? In his dealings with other people, he was sensitive to what it meant to do right. And he walked in such a way that it reflected his honoring God and honoring the other person. The third thing, it says he feared God. He feared God. You see, we find he wasn't afraid of God, but it was respect and reverence. Let me stop here. What God is looking for today are men and women's hearts whom he can live within, and we just reverence him in such a way that our lives are impacted by his presence in us. Job was like that. And lastly, he shunned evil. This is a guy that guarded what he saw. He didn't have TV in that day, but if he did, he somehow was careful about what he laid his eyes on. He shunned evil. He was careful in his business dealings. He was God-centered, and that made the difference in his life. Read with me Proverbs 9:10 in your notes. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. See, the fear of God is not an afraidness of him. It's a reverence and a respect for him. And Job lived his life in such a way that he just made a difference wherever he went. I read a summary of a survey, and it goes like this. They say, if moms go to church and dads do not, about one-third of the children follow. If dads go to church and moms do not, 2/3 of the children follow. Guys, never underestimate the influence of who you are in the family. And even if your kids are gone and you have grandkids, maybe they're all out of the home. Listen, your children are still watching you. I've come to realize that even when people grow older, kids, when they're adults, still watch what mom and dad do. It's never too late to make a difference. Job was that kind of a guy. So number one, he lived a God-centered life, and he God-prioritized every decision he made. Here's a quote. My relationship with God is my number one focus. I know that if I take care of that, God will take care of everything else. So true, isn't it? We just prioritize God. He'll take care of everything else. Here's another one. The secret to a happy life is giving God the first part of your day, the first priority of every decision, and the first place in your heart. You know what this means? When you get up in the morning, you want to give God some time, the first part. When you come on Sundays, you want to give him the first part and prioritize that. And during the week, we just honor God in any way we can, and we make him a priority. And here's the last quote under this one. One of the greatest blessings we can offer to the world is the power of a Christ-centered home, where the gospel is taught, covenants are kept, and love abounds. Guys, let me tell you, it's not weak to love, especially in the home, because that marks a holy man when they're willing to love and give and extend grace to other people. So, number one, he lived a God-centered life. Number two, the second thing we can learn about Job as a father of influence is this. He gained the respect and the favor of the people he lived among. He gained the respect and the favor of the people he lived among. Let's read together verse 3 in your notes. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. Job was a great businessman, and he had livestock, and he was a wealthy man. And here's the title given to him. He was the greatest man among all the people in the East. That's an amazing title. So Job somehow, some way, had gained or earned the respect of other people. We're going to talk about how you do that in a moment, but let's read together the next 2 paragraphs from Proverbs. It's in your notes. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Here's what the writer says. Guys, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Start in the home. Start in the relationship with your wives, your kids, with the people in your immediate family. But as with Job, it extended in the wider circle. Loyalty and kindness to make a difference in people's lives. End result, it says you will then find favor with God and men. You want to earn the favor of the people you serve in the community? Just operate with kindness and respect. As you move forward, be loyal, be consistent. The writer says, you will earn a good reputation. You know, I appreciate the men in this church, and there's many who fall into this category that have just, all their lives, they were God-centered, And then they sought to serve other people, and they gained the respect and a good name and reputation. Here's a quote that summarizes it all. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Talk to people the way you want to be talked to. Respect is earned, not given. Guys, if you want to be that man of influence, it's just all about living loyalty and kindness and respect whoever you meet. It makes all the difference. So number one, he lived a God-centered life. Number two, he gained the respect of the people he lived among. Number three, third thing is this, he valued family. He valued family. On the back side of your sermon listening guide, read it with me, Job 1:4. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. He has 10 children, 7 boys, 3 girls. And it says that they took turns holding feasts, and they kind of did the circuit. You know, what it does, it reflects something that they received from mom and dad, that these children would somehow stay connected to each other. I grew up in Iowa many years ago, and I was within an hour distance of cousins and aunts and uncles. And I did a lot on holidays, Christmas, and Easter. We just got together as a way of life. Now, today, I have a brother in Missouri. I got a sister in Iowa. I'm in New York State, and we're just scattered. The same is probably true of your family. Or you may be the minority and people are still close, but some just scatter. But what this text teaches is Job valued family and somehow imparted that to his kids. Here's a couple quotes. Here's the first one. In family life, love is the oil that eases friction. Now there's a message right there. Hey, maybe this line is what you needed to hear for the whole day. Love is the oil that eases friction, the cement that binds closer together, and the music that brings harmony. Guys, don't be afraid to give great amounts or portions of love in the people you're living with. Just let it be a part of who you are. And here's another quote. Where there is family, there is sacrifices, happiness, and love for others. Listen, we have to be on mission, guys, to be the difference maker in the home. We can't leave it up to someone else, whether it's a wife or kids. We are the driving force that God has commissioned to make a difference, and it starts with loving all the people around us. Job valued his family, and we must do that also. All right, he was God-centered. He gained the respect and favor of the people he lived among. Thirdly, he valued his family. Number four, here it is. He prayed for his children. He prayed for them. Read with me verse 5 in your notes. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. Here's what it's saying. When they got together and completed this cycle or this circle of feasting, Job as a father was concerned that his kids may have sinned, maybe inadvertently. And he would offer up a burnt offering. In that day, they would offer up some kind of a smoke-driven or a fragrance that would go to heaven. And that was like a prayer covering for his kids. We can do the same thing today. You know what it is? We just plead the blood of Christ in a prayer covering over our children and our families. He was the priest of his family. Guys, I want you to know something. You are a priest, and it's a healthy term, and it's a term in which you are the one in charge of, responsible for your family. And you can pray a blessing over your wife, over your kids, over your family, over your community. You know why? God has put you in charge to make a difference in that way. So Job prayed for his children, and we can do the same thing. I want you to notice something. It says, early in the morning, maybe before the kids were up, Job is up early in the morning. You know what he's doing? He's just lifting a prayer on behalf of his family. Lord, if they've sinned some way, I ask for your grace to abound. You have the same authority and power as Job does. And he went on to say this. This was Job's regular custom. It was a habit. It didn't happen just once a week or once a month. It was a regular custom, up early in the morning, praying a covering over his kids that God would protect them and give them favor. Isn't that amazing? Guys, that's what God is calling us to. We're the priest. We are to literally be that person in the home. And that's what Job was to his family. So here's a couple quotes. Lord, I pray for my family. May you bless them always, keep them with health and obedience. Simple prayer. And here's a picture. It's just a picture. It's pretty neat. Guys, look at that. You hold your family in a simple way in your hands. And when you pray for your family, you're asking for God's blessed upon it, his best upon it. It doesn't get any better than that. It's a privilege, but yet a high and holy responsibility that we will pray for those in our family, because the man you are charged with being that leader in that way. Job prayed for his kids. Let's go to number 5, which is probably the one that we most think of when we think of Job. It's this. Job modeled how to respond to life's tragedies. When we think of the life of Job, we know he suffered greatly, and that is the big lesson or takeaway of his life. So read with me verses 18 and 19 in your notes. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. Let me tell you what happened in the preceding verses. In chapter 1, there's a text in which Satan goes to have a conversation with God. And somehow Satan says to God, you know, the reason Job is serving you is he has a soft life. He's got all this goodness. And for whatever reason, God said, okay, you can do this and this, but not this. You can't take his life. Well, here's what happened. He lost 7,000 sheep when fire came down from heaven. There were 500 oxen, 500 donkeys carried off by the Sabians. There were 3,000 camels carried off by the Chaldeans. Job lost all of his livelihood and his livestock. Then, a storm hit where all 10 of his children were, and all 10 of his kids, 7 boys and 3 girls, died on the same day. I can't fathom that. I can't comprehend it. The loss and the pain he had experienced when all of that just disappeared in a short period of time. But listen, Job was the guy who modeled for us how to deal with adversity. Read with me the last 3 paragraphs in your notes. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. I want you to notice how he responded to the heartache and the grief of losing all of his livestock, and then he lost 10 children in one day. He falls before God. It says he shaved his head and he fell to the ground. You know what he did? He said, "Naked I came from the womb, naked I will return." And he says, "May the Lord's name be praised." I don't know how he did that, but here's the key. His faith in who God was kept him intact in how he responded to the adversity in his life. Guys, here's the big lesson. People are watching your life. You know what they're watching? How you and I respond to adversity in life. You know, most things that kids take away from parents, it's not what they've said through the years, it's what they've caught watching mom and dad model something for us. The consistency, the steadiness, the attitude, how they respond when things don't go right, that is what kids take away from parents. It's caught more than taught. Job was a great example of a guy who somehow, someway, despite the heaviness of this adversity, he said, "God, I don't get it, but I will still worship you." I want you to notice the very last verse. It says, "In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing." Let me stop here. When things get really raw in life, you know what the tendency is? To bail on God and say, "God, what are you doing?" We all hit those points. Job somehow, someway, kept it intact. So he did not charge God with wrongdoing or foolishness. He didn't rail against God. He somehow walked it forward and said, "Okay, I don't get it, I don't understand it, I don't like it, but I'm going to worship you because you're God." Guys, this is probably one of the greatest examples of all history of a man, the head of the household, the priest, who modeled how to handle adversity in life that we can learn from. Chuck Swindoll wrote a book. Here's the title of it. Life is 10% what happens to you. It's 90% how you react. Life is 10% with what goes wrong and what happens to me, but it's 90% how I react to what's happened to me. That's huge. Big lesson that we can all learn from. But Job just modeled, guys, how to respond to adversity. And we can learn from this to make our responses better. Here's a couple of slides and we'll wrap up here. Here's the first one. If your reaction, it is your reaction to adversity, not the adversity itself, that determines how your life story will develop. I want you to grab hold of that. It's not what happens, it's how you respond to what happens that will determine the storyline going forward. Here's another one. I like this. Fall 7 times, stand up 8. Isn't that good? Maybe you've been knocked down, guys, 7 times. Well, we just need to get up the 8th time, okay? And here's one more. Although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of overcoming it. This is by Helen Keller. She couldn't see and she couldn't hear. A woman that suffered great adversity in life says, "You know, the world's full of suffering." She would know that. "It's also full of overcoming it." Guys, we want to be overcomers. You know why? We're a model. We're an example. God has called us to do that even when, and especially when times are tough. I have one last slide, but let me review the 5 points. The reason Job was such a father of influence, he was God-centered. In today's the New Testament, it would be having Christ at the center of our life, and we submit our lives to him and serve him, and he's our Lord, and we walk forward, life forward through that. And let me tell you guys, that's where the power's at. When we have a God-centered or Christ-centeredness in our life, that's where the power comes from. Number 2, He lived life in such a way to gain and earn the respect of the favor of the people he lived among. Good work, guys. Loving kindness and loyalty, just make it a part of every day. And the end result is a good name. Number three, he valued family. You know, he just believed that that was important. Number four, he prayed for his kids. Guys, spend some time early in the morning or whenever it works for you. Lift a prayer covering over your children, over your wife, over your neighborhood, over the church. You are the ones that are the priests in the home. And number five, the big one, he modeled how to respond to life's tragedies. If there's a takeaway for us all, it's this one. People are watching our lives to see how we deal with life. And when we, like Helen Keller, can overcome it, let me tell you, it is caught more than taught with our kids, the people watching our lives. Well, here's my final quote as we wrap up. Quote by Billy Graham. A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. So guys, whether you have kids or you don't, whether you're a grandpa or a father, let me tell you, if you've been a father to other people, being that person in our society is huge, because you can make a difference with your life, because people are watching. And like Job, he was a man of great influence, and so can each of us be. I want to thank the men of the church that over the years, for your steadiness. Many of you have raised kids or you have grandkids now. Some are, you've just been steady as you go. And it's made a huge difference for all of us as we watched your life. Let's bow for prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Here's the one big question. Are you God-centered this morning? And what does that mean? Well, today is Jesus at the center of your life? If he's not, I'm going to pray a simple prayer shortly and you can make him that. But ask yourself that question. What's at my center? Because that is the deciding principle of how much influence I'll have in my life going forward. If you're here and you just want to commit or recommit your life to Christ, I'm going to lead us in a prayer to that effect. Pray it silently after me. Father in heaven, thank you that you love me. I confess I need you. Forgive me of my sins in trying to live life apart from you. I believe that Jesus died and rose again on my behalf. And right now, by faith, I open the door of my heart. And I invite Jesus Christ into the center of my life. Or I recommit my life to him. I ask him to be my Savior and my Lord in a new way from this moment forward. And Father, take my life and make me like Job. A man who was God-centered, a man who earned the respect of people around him, a man who valued family, a man who prayed for his children, and a man who modeled how to respond to life's adversities. Fathers, I pray you'll take these guys here today, raise them up going forward to be the difference makers in their homes, and in their churches, and in their communities. And for this, we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.